Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. Yeah, we got a big 7 o'clock hour of the show lined up for you here this morning on Montana Talks. Judge Dan Wilson will be in later this hour. Plus, we've got Troy Downing, the candidate for Congress, Republican candidate for Congress in the Eastern Congressional District, and current state auditor. They'll both be coming up. But right after the break, we should have Brian Massard with Reminisce Angus on the show with us. And I'm really looking forward to chatting with Brian, because when RFK Jr., when Robert F. Kennedy was speaking last week, really, what an incredible speech. And, you know, he was talking about some of the very same things that we just talked with Tulsi Gabbard about just a few minutes ago in the 6 o'clock hour of the show. But what he was saying about food and about the health challenges, the health crisis facing children in America, childhood obesity, health problems that are facing kids as a result of just our food system in America. Boy, I'll tell you, I couldn't wait to get a chance to catch up with Brian Massard from Reminisce Angus, because he's been working very closely with RFK Jr. and with his then running mate, Nicole Shanahan, talking about the importance of beef when it comes to providing healthier food for Americans and American children as well. In fact, actually, looks like Brian is on the phone lines already. So let's just jump right into it. Hey, Brian, great to have you back on the show.
Good morning. Good to be back with you, Aaron.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning. How closely you actually met RFK Jr. and Nicole Shanahan, or did you had some phone conversations or something? I'm trying to recall.
We met Nicole back in June and had a 7-hour conversation with her and got pretty excited about going, you know, wait a minute, these guys are former Democrats. Who are these people, and why do they think cows are the number one tool we have to fix the world? And through that, one thing led to another. A friend of mine in Florida gave me RFK's phone number and said, hey, I know him. I've met him. Call him. And so I did, and left him a message, and immediately he asked me to be on his team and help him with ranching issues along the Rocky Mountains from Canada to Mexico. And so we've been back and forth. In fact, we were texting back and forth last night at midnight before we went to bed about his coming to Montana and continuing to share this message from here with the country. And so,
oh, that'd be incredible.
Yeah,
to get RFK here to Montana, especially now that he's teaming up with Trump, that would be incredible.
It is. He's finally got a national platform, and it'll be great to have him when he comes out here, get him on your show, and really talk about, you know, if you've noticed, I think you were talking a little bit before, food and soils are number one and two in his for restoring the country, and restoring the middle class of agriculture has just been debilitated by so many policies over 60 years, and especially ranching. The lie about saturated fats being unhealthy for you, and he understands that. And
well, and the food the food pyramid, I mean, what a scandal, and that's what he has been calling out, is how that's been used to discriminate against, you know, beef. All right, stand by. Brian Massard, more to follow next.
Securing America.
Monday marked 3 years since the bombing at the Abbey Gate of the Kabul airport during the withdrawal from Afghanistan, which killed 13 U.S. service members. White House National Security Communications Advisor John Kirby.
These 13 Americans and those who were wounded were patriots in every sense.
Kirby says the country owes them an unpayable debt. But Paula Knaas self, whose son, Army Sergeant Ryan Knaas, was killed, says what is owed is an apology, telling Fox's America Reports,
we are all grieving over something that should have never, ever happened.
Kirby says their sacrifices help maintain the military's most pressing long-term objective.
Today, our longest war is over, but our commitment to preventing attacks on the homeland and our people will never be.
And that the U.S. will
continue to deliver justice to terrorists who plot against America.
Give me a rescue. Fox News.
like.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, great to have Brian Massard with Reminis Angus back with us here on the show. This is really exciting that you're saying that RFK is looking to come to Montana. You know, ever since we've been talking about your Reminis Angus beef products, your jerky, you know, everybody knows your bull sale out there in Dillon as well. You've been hammering this issue of like, guys, look. The fat in beef is good for you. You need it. It's a healthy thing, and not only is the beef itself healthy for you, but man, look at the way that beef has been discriminated against by our own federal government. And so that's why it's so amazing when somebody like RFK Jr. is actually calling out, you know, how you know cattle ranchers have been discriminated against, basically.
Yeah, it will be amazing to have him in within the Trump administration because, you know, I was pretty disappointed a month ago Trump had announced that he was bringing in Charles Herbster as his ag guy again, and he was, you know, the same mistake he's done before. It's just anybody that's successful in a corporation is his guy, and he's a big seed oils guy, big corn guy, and so we would have had more of the same, and we would have saw zero change in our food pyramid, not because he's not aware of it, he's just not aware of how to fix it. And so now, with RFK going to be taking the helm of that, we're going to stop demonizing saturated fat, going to reduce, I mean, chronic illness is 60% in this country, and the number one source of that is the lack of saturated fats. It's been replaced by seed oils, sugars, and refined carbs since the 60s. And there's no money. The reason that has happened, there's no money in healthy people. And I've watched my industry just be destroyed for the last 40 years. And we've been caught up in the vacuum of trying to sue and go after all of the symptoms. And none of those symptoms go away. The four big packers that we have, these huge feedlots, all the outside money pouring into the beef industry because there's no money in it, are a symptom of a broken machine, and it just can't. We can't continue to do that. And Nina Tye Schultz, who wrote The Big Fat Surprise, who actually has had the most success bringing this to light, will be working as part of that as well too. So it's pretty exciting for all of us. My goal is to just help the entire industry, and by doing this, we're not just helping our industry. People are going to start eating better, feeling better, and living a better life.
Yeah, no, it's really exciting because something's obviously got to change. You know, I'm just wrapping up. I've been doing my little diet tune-up with Billings Last Diet. So, you know, just trimming down a little fat. And even when you're doing a diet, you have to get your healthy fat in there. And so it's kind of funny. People think, well, you know, like I was at the Mint bar in Big Sandy on Saturday afternoon, and luckily, I was there when steak night or when prime rib night got up and rolling, and that's what I had for my meal. You know, for dinner, you can have your steak or your prime rib, and then get your veggies in because, you know, that's part of being healthy is getting that good protein in. And yet they tell you, oh no, only have this many ounces of beef. Are you kidding me? And then the food they try to dump on kids in the schools. I mean, we really saw that under the Obama administration.
Oh, yeah. I mean, RFK hits the nail right on the head. We're poisoning our kids, the next generation. I mean, we shouldn't have kids facing diabetes. There are adults that have been on insulin every day that are walking away from that just by cutting out the carbs and sugars and eating protein and fat and animal fat, too. I mean, here's one thing that people don't understand. I've mentioned it once before. Is your body only has three essential nutrient requirements, macronutrients, and that is protein, fat, and carbohydrates. Only protein and fat are the only two required ones because they make carbohydrates within your body. So you don't even have to have. You can. There's nothing wrong. But if we're in a system now where the whole food system pushes carbohydrates and sugars, well, protein and fat actually makes carbohydrates, and that's how people lose weight. That's how they get their diabetes under control. That's how you avoid strokes, dementia, Alzheimer's, all kinds of chronic illness comes from protein and fat, animal fat.
I kind of think of it as, I don't know if this is a correct way of thinking or not, but it's kind of like, you know, your engine needs oil to smoothly operate, right? Or it's just machine on machine grinding up. And so this is the engine oil for our bodies. You know, it helps everything move a little smoothly. There's a lot of other stuff that gums it up. What RFK said about, because some people might say, oh, you know, kids aren't suffering from obesity and kids aren't getting diabetes because of the food, it's because of their playing video games and they're on smartphones. Well, kids in Japan are on smartphones and playing video games too. I mean, that is, but they don't have anywhere near this childhood obesity epidemic that we've got here taking place in America. So obviously, it's not just smartphones and video games.
No, it's not. It's directly diet is everything. Diet to a cow is everything. I mean, if you don't take care of your cow and you don't give them the right feedstuffs, they're not going to do well either. So in the ranching community, we know we have to take care of them. We know it, and then you take it to the next step. We've got to take care of the environment because we need that every year. And so we understand how to take care of the cow. We understand how to take care of the environment. And then
what a great point too. We focus on diet and nutrition for our cattle. Let's also focus on diet and nutrition for ourselves and for our kids and in our communities. That's such a great point. But Brian Massard, we got about 30 seconds to go here. How can folks find your Reminis Angus products, jerky and you name it?
The best, if you want to buy it online, if you're not in Helena or Dillon or Absorkey, you've got to buy it online at remangusbeef.com. It would be fantastic. If people want to try the best beef they can find in the world, you can go there. Town Pumps, there's over 60 Town Pumps stores in Montana that have it, and a lot of small convenience stores that are now picking it up that also have the beef jerky, beef sticks, and salami.
That's right. I picked some up in Livingston. In fact, I'll be in Livingston Thursday night. I'll have to pick up some more. Brian Massard, great to have you as always. Thanks for your time.
Democracy 24.
New Fox News Power Rankings show it's a toss-up between which party will control the Senate. The balance of power will hinge on three toss-up states, Montana, Ohio, and Nevada. A good election night for Republicans means a clean sweep of these three swing seats, giving the GOP a 53-47 majority. A good night for Democrats would be a 50-50 split, with new VP-elect Governor Tim Walz becoming the tie-breaking vote in the Senate. The key factor in deciding control of the Senate may be voters' appetite for ticket splitting. Democratic Senators John Tester and Sherrod Brown are vulnerable in Montana and Ohio, where Trump won by 16 and 8 points in 2020, respectively. The down-ballot races, of course, often hinge on the performance of the top of the ticket. The Trump campaign is reportedly trying to get the former president to refocus his stump speech on policy differences between him and Vice President Kamala Harris. Brian Yenis, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the area today, high temperatures will range from the mid to upper 80s. For tonight, partly cloudy skies. Chance for a shower towards morning in Bozeman with low temperature readings, staying back around 44 in Bozeman to the mid-50s in Billings. On Wednesday, we'll see a chance for isolated showers, otherwise clouds and some sun, low to mid-70s. That's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
I love this song.
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordlund.
USDA released its latest cattle on feed report, and the numbers a bit bearish for industry participants. Cattle and calves on feed totaled 11.1 million head as of August 1st. The inventory level slightly above August of last year, with placements totaling 1.7 million head, 6% higher than last, while the marketing of fed cattle in July totaled 1.86 million head, 8% above the same time in 2003.
Are you concerned about the impact government policies could have on your cattle business? One way to make your voice heard in Washington is by joining NCBA. When you join, you'll be part of the nation's oldest and largest national cattle industry organization that has a professional team working in Washington, D.C. on issues that matter to cattle-producing families nationwide. Don't stay on the sidelines. Make your voice heard by joining NCBA today at the website ncba.org.
Looking to scrambled egg news, United States egg production totaled 9.06 billion during July 2024, 2% below last year. Production of eggs included 7.7 billion table eggs, 1.3 billion hatching eggs. The average number of laying hens also totaled 370 million, down 3% from last year. I'm Wayne Northland.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, today is one of those days. We got a great lineup of in-studio guests here. Had a big event last night. You guys, if you heard Mark Lauder, he's a former special assistant to President Trump. He actually came to Montana for this big event last night. And, man, what a great time we had at that event. The other headline speaker at the event last night, Troy Downing, Republican candidate for Congress in the Eastern Congressional District, also your current Montana State Auditor. Troy, great to see you.
Yeah, great to see you, and thanks for emceeing last night. That was a really fun event, and you know, just like we were talking about before, it's nice to have an event where you're getting information about people running for office, people in office, but also making it fun. So people are just happy being there. And I think that, the hosts just did a great job. We lucked out on weather, good speakers. It was just a really fun night. So I was happy to be there.
It was a rough gig for me. I mean, I had to have a cigar and a nice little beverage and listen to some great speakers. It was a rough night.
It was
such a good time.
But still getting to the serious topics there about, what we see as the future of this nation and what we need to do to claw back, 4 years of policies that have really hurt a lot of Americans, hurt a lot of Montanans, made things out of reach, made housing out of reach, just the cost of living out of reach. And one of my concerns, I talked about a little bit last night, is I look at the opportunities that I had growing up, just from being an American, just having opportunities to build something and create value and do something for me and my family. And I think that American dream is getting harder and harder to reach. And I think we're really at a crossroads here of deciding, what the direction is of this country, because we have two very different, views. We've got, on one side, having that opportunity, having the government out of our lives, having small government, not being taxed into, the point where you can't succeed, having business thrive, jobs thrive, being able to do that if you just show up and do some work and getting something done. And then we've got a complete stark contrast of a different view of this country, of like another, European nation where, the government is taking care of everything for you. And, it's expensive. It costs freedom. It costs opportunity. And I think we're really at a crossroads of deciding, what is the heart and soul of this nation, and what do we need to do to get it back on track? Because I'm a firm believer, that the United States of America is that shining beacon on the hill. I think it's being a little bit tarnished right now, and we need to claw back these policies that have made that harder and harder, especially for young families, young Americans, young Montanans to be able to just put their nose to the grindstone and build something meaningful.
Well, so great, too. The message of unity, Mark Lauder talked about that last night. He's like, look, I know there's some people who still got hurt feelings after primaries. Primaries are tough, for any party, for any race, legislative race.
They're hard on all of us, because the reality of it is that we all have, well, not all of us, but many of us have, friends that are involved. And sometimes we have friends running against friends. And it's, primaries are never comfortable. But once you get through a primary, I mean, we're all on the same team here. We need to make sure that we're, raising the tide.
Stacey Zinn was there last night, former head of the DEA. She did very well in the primary, but she came out. She said, look, folks, they want to destroy us. They want to destroy this country. We have got to unite, around Troy and in the Western Congressional District around Ryan Zinke. The Democrats think they can take that seat because they gerrymandered the seat to try to favor them. And so Montana has to be the firewall. Tim Sheehy has to be the firewall. That was part of what Lauder said last night.
Yeah, absolutely. And, here's the thing, is we have an opportunity. if we come together, we have an opportunity of making some real change. We have an opportunity of a trifecta in November where we've got the White House, we've got the Senate, and we grow the majority in the House. And with that, you know, it gives us the ability to really do some meaningful changes and really claw back some of this and get back on track. But we can't squander it, and we can't have, you know, our internal fights. We need to, you know, raise the tide, you know, support everybody that's doing this. What I'm trying to do is not just in Montana, but trying to, you know, help flip some other seats so that in January I don't get sworn into a, you know, a small minority or worse. I want to actually have enough people there to get things done, you know. Without having, you know, that mass, it's harder and harder to actually get policy done. And with Trump there, that first 100 days is going to be critical to make sure that we're actually, you know, executing on that and on the same team, looking at what we need to do to, you know, cut back spending, deal with our national security issues, our porous southern border, really, you know, attack these things that are causing problems for everyday Americans, everyday Montanans. Because, you know, historically, you've got that first 100 days, and with a trifecta, usually you don't have it for more than 2 years. So if we don't get some work done right away, you know, we squander that opportunity. So I'm just trying to make sure we're, like I said, raising that tide, getting good folks in, and hit the ground running in January. And do,
well, Eastern Montana in particular has got a lot of help that they need right now, that we need right now, because we've got liberal federal judges that corrupt Max Baucus and John Tester put on the bench. And they're targeting oil, gas, and coal across the board. Signal Peak is in a fight for their lives right now. Colstrip's in a fight for their lives right now. We've lost a lot of our industrial base.
Right.
Sugar beet plant in Sydney, the, you know, coal in Sydney. And so we've got to rebuild this industrial base that liberal judges and Democrat Party policies have destroyed. Because what that's done is it's shifted the responsibility to, you know, individual residents,
right,
when we used to be able to rely on an industrial base to fund a lot of these things.
Right, absolutely. But, you know, one of the issues that you brought up, which I think is also critical in the races coming up here, is the judiciary, are the courts. Because you can pass, we see that in Montana all the time, you can pass great legislation and it may not stand depending on, you know, where the courts fall. And, you know, there's a lot of talk about, you know, partisan, nonpartisan, you know, whatever. I mean, really, we need people to just read the black and white of the law and stick to the black and white of the law. And with that, our policies win and we win. And we got to make sure that we don't have activist judges. And, you know, one of the things that came up last night, which is, you know, another thing that we need to be, you know, keeping our conscience, is, you know, how many Supreme Court judges, you know, may be retiring in the next 4 years.
At the U.S. Supreme Court.
Yeah,
I think Lauder said we've got 3 United States Supreme Court justices over the age of 70.
Yeah.
So, yeah, do you want Kamala Harris and John Tester putting more anti-gun justices on the Supreme Court, or do you want Tim Sheehy and Donald Trump deciding who those justices are?
Absolutely. And the issue is if you put a young activist judge there, I mean, that's a multi-generational effect.
They could sit there for 50 years.
Yeah. And that, and that's important. And even on the, you know, I know we were talking about the state side, but on the national side, again, you know, some of these laws are sometimes subject to the interpretation of the court. And we need to make sure that we have justices that are sticking to the law and not on whatever their, you know, pet activist issues are.
What do you think, you know, central and eastern Montana need the most, you know, in the next 2 years or in that first 100 days?
Well, you know, one of the things is, especially, you know, you see it here in Billings, you see it actually, you see it all over the state, is crime. And that crime is directly related to a porous southern border. And, you know, people are not comfortable in their homes, not comfortable in their neighborhoods. They're seeing, you know, meth and fentanyl related crimes. They're seeing, you know, cartel type gangs. You know, we need to close that southern border, and we need to have, you know, reasonable immigration reform, because right now it's a porous southern border where we've got, you know, economic refugees, we've got, you know, enemies of the state, you know, people that are, you know, from countries that are our enemies.
Well, and more law enforcement on our reservations.
Oh, that's absolutely.
A massive failure by Liberal Senator John Tester. His party is in charge of the BIA. His party's in charge of the federal government. And they're failing to provide basic law enforcement on the reservations, where it's their duty to do just that. I mean, but he sends strong letters.
Yeah, strong letters. But and that problem is manifold, because what we'll see here, because of the less, you know, boots on the ground for law enforcement, you see some of these bad actors, you know, in and around, you know, reservations, because they think it's harder to, you know, come out. Well, it is harder to come after them. And so
jurisdictional issues.
And it's just interesting, because I was up at Fort Belknap, I don't know, maybe a month ago, and talking to their law enforcement up there. And they were just talking about their budgeting. They said, you know, we got an original budget, and I'm going to roughly the numbers, they're not going to be exact,
but still,
like, it was like a million to run their law enforcement, you know, 25 years ago, and now it's $1.3 million. So it hasn't kept up with, you know, population or inflation.
Yet they're getting hammered. Yeah. They're getting hammered by Joe Biden and John Tester's policies.
Absolutely.
It's crazy. Troy Downing, candidate for Congress in the Eastern District. Great to see you, as always. Thanks for dropping in.
Happy to be here. All right. Thanks for having me.
You mentioned judges. Judge Dan Wilson. Wilson, he's in next. He's coming up the elevators right now. Female athletes at the University of Montana were offered paid political endorsements supporting Senator John Tester, but at least two of them refused, citing his vote to allow men in women's sports. Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks, a student athlete and a student journalist at the University of Montana, broke that story on our Montana Talks website. She joins us on Tuesday's Montana Talks. Catch us statewide right here, 9 to 10 a.m.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Wilson, you guys remember the Tom Hanks movie? You know, when people ask me, hey, who are the good candidates for Montana Supreme Court? The best answer I heard first came from one of our listeners. They said, hey, just vote for the Sons of Montana. Corey Swan's son, the Broadwater County attorney, an Iraq War veteran, and then also Wilson, Judge Dan Wilson, in studio with us here. Judge, great to see you.
Thanks so much for having me on, Aaron. It's really a pleasure.
Yeah, no, it is. I always enjoy seeing you, because I always learn something whenever you talk. I feel like I'm in a law school class, because it's just such great insight that you give. But really fun thing is, I actually first met you in Malta. I was doing a live radio show from Malta, and You I think, grew up in Malta a little bit as a kid, got family back there still, and you were touring northeast Montana, what they oftentimes call the forgotten corner of Montana, but it's not forgotten for you, so that's good to see.
It's not, yeah. Malta is a place where both of my parents grew up and where my cousin and his family still live. He's the mayor of Malta. So, yeah, the connections go back a long time, and they're pretty deep. So the High Line is special to me.
It really is. Really is. Well, the thing I always tell folks about Judge Dan Wilson is, this is the judge who, you know, all this COVID BS, these lockdowns, these mandates, you had Democrat Governor Steve Bullock and his lockdown lawyer, Rafe Graybill, who's the current Democrat candidate for lieutenant governor, and they were going around the Flathead and all across the state poking businesses, small businesses, in the chest. You will shut down your restaurant. You will shut down your bar. You will shut down your fabric store. But they didn't go to the big box stores and tell them to shut down. And it was so outrageous, but you stood up and did the right thing, and you followed the Constitution and said, no, guys, you can't come in here and order these people to shut down. So you passed the test, I would say, Judge.
Well, thanks for that. In that case, you know, it was an interesting case now in retrospective, but it was a very tense time, too. People on both sides of that issue were very angry, and fortunately, when we had the hearing all day that day, everyone was respectful in the courtroom, but there just simply wasn't evidence to indicate, even assuming that the governor had the authority to require businesses to enforce a state mandate, and we never reached that issue because we didn't have to. There wasn't any evidence of intentional wrongdoing. There was no good evidence in the case, and that became no more apparent to me than one of the first fundraisers that was held for me by an attorney in Missoula interrupted me when I was telling this story to the people who were there. He interrupted me and he said, "Say, I never told you, Dan, but I was hired to appeal that decision from your court." And he said, "I looked through the transcript and I told the government he didn't do anything wrong. He followed the law and he made findings of fact based on the evidence." And that's what I've always maintained. If we follow the rule of law carefully and faithfully, then things will be right. You know, the ship of state won't be listing left or right. We'll always have our debates that are going to be argued in the legislature and in other forums. But as long as the court follows the law, the ship of state should sail on without listing either direction.
Well, that's really all. That's what's crazy about what's going on in this country right now, not just at the federal level, but in our state Supreme Court and in too many of our state district courts is we're not simply, you know, when I say we, like conservatives and a lot of our Montana Talks listeners, we're not saying they're weaponizing the government against we the people. They're weaponizing courts against we the people to push their partisan political agendas. We want to take control so that we can weaponize the courts and the government against them. We're just saying we just want it to be fair. We just want fairness and justice. Why is that too much to ask for these days?
It's not. And the message that I've heard most often when I'm out on the campaign trail by my most ardent supporters, they say, "Look, we realize that we are not going to get every ruling out of you that we want. But what we know is that you will be fair and you will follow the law." And ultimately, I don't think you can get a higher compliment as a judge to have someone say, even when the chips are down, even when politics are sort of out of control, even when public opinion is full of strife and unhappiness, we want courts that just look at the law and say, this is what it says, this is what we're going to do.
The other thing that was interesting about that case where you told the state that they couldn't shut down the order these businesses to be shut down is that you got attacked by the liberal media mob who was taking sides in that debate. Instead of questioning big government, they were cheerleading big government and attacking anybody who dared question big government. It's such a failure of journalism as well that we saw at the local level during those years by many, not all, but by many. I don't know if feel free to share whatever you want to share, because, you know, this is your chance to talk to voters out there. But you gave a great story one time talking about what it means to follow the Constitution and follow the rule of law when making these judicial decisions. And you pointed to an example of Ketanji Brown Jackson on the U.S. Supreme Court just making stuff up out of thin air for her ruling, really, you know, grasping at straws to come up with their decision, because they just the ends justify the means in their book too often.
Well, and I remember that interview and that reference, and it was a case where there were a great number of what are called friend of the court or amicus briefs that were filed, and it was all over the affirmative action case. And the thing about Supreme Courts, whether it's our Montana Supreme Court or U.S. Supreme Court, the record that they're ruling on is what happened in the trial court below, what any witness had to say, what the judge ruled and why. That's really the record that's being reviewed. But more and more we see these interest groups filing friend of the court briefs, and they cite all kinds of things, studies or scholarly articles or opinions and that sort of thing, that weren't in the record below, that weren't subject to the checks and balances of the district court. And in that case, she relied on a brief that misstated a study and its conclusions and really got called out for it later in the legal press. But that's a practice that we have to be very careful of. And being what I consider to be a conservative judge or a judge with a conservative judicial temperament, it's vital that we do not insert personal politics. It's vital we do not insert our own personal views when we are making legal decisions. We go by the law. The law is bigger than we are. And if you're inserting your own views, you're out of line.
Well, wasn't there a case involving DUI laws, in, for example, because, you know, we've had a lot of problem with DUIs over the past few decades here in Montana. So as a result, the state has strengthened, you know, okay, if you get four DUIs, now that becomes a felony, and we're going to step up, because we were getting people that were getting, you know, 6, 12 DUIs, and people were dying on the streets, et cetera. But then some liberal judge apparently says, well, I don't like it. I'm going to call it racist, and I'm going to just throw that out.
Well, it's the case started, it's a recent case. It started up in Lincoln County. It was a district court judge who followed the law and imposed the mandatory fine of $5,000 on a guy who was a repeat DUI offender, exactly like the legislature had directed. And for decades, our Supreme Court said mandatory fines are okay under our Constitution. And then recently, in this case, the Supreme Court decided, well, here's what we're going to do. The legislature, in some of its pronouncements, has said we need to consider, as judges, the ability to pay before we force someone to pay a mandatory fine. And they said that when the legislature did this, they were basically following, they were codifying the Constitution. I'm not sure that they were. I think that they were doing what legislatures do, which is making laws. Taking the assumption that the legislature itself was giving him this constitutional authority, this rule, they said if you don't consider the person's ability to pay, it violates the excessive fines clause. Well, no one had talked about that, thought about that. It had been precedent for almost 30 years. You could impose a fine, and now you can't. But as one of the justices in a recent court opinion accused his colleagues, he said in those voting integrity statute review cases, Justice Sandifer, who is retiring this year, said that his colleagues were acting like a super legislature. And we are not this year, should not be electing members to a super or supreme legislature, just the Supreme Court. Courts say what the law is, they don't make it up, and they don't insert their personal values to justify their opinions. They should serve the law and not pretend that it's their plaything or tool.
Yeah, we are seeing such a massive abuse of power here in Montana at the hands of this left-wing mob that's currently running the Montana Supreme Court. All we want is justice. All we want is fairness. And the Sons of Montana are the two who I think can deliver that for us, or at least get us down that path once again here. That's all we're asking for. That's why Tulsi Gabbard is backing Trump. That's why RFK, a Kennedy, is backing Trump at the federal level. And we need the same type of change here at the local level in Montana as well. Judge Dan Wilson, can you stick around for a few more minutes?
You bet.
Thank you. All right, great. Judge Dan Wilson, we'll take a quick break. He'll be back with us as we round out the hour. If you got a quick question or a comment, you can message us on the app, on the Montana Talks app, or you can call in right now. We'll try to sneak in a quick call or two, 294-0970.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible. Financial geniuses. Monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Fox News commentary.
After simply liking one of Donald Trump's posts, Brittany Mahomes is getting eviscerated by the loving and tolerant left. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey there, it's me, Kennedy. Make sure to check out my podcast, Kennedy Saves the World. It is 5 days a week. Every week, we check in with Jimmy Fallon, bring in authors for the book club, and even treat some of your favorite Fox personalities to a very special happy hour. Download and listen at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
Kennedy Saves the World. America's listening to Fox News.
Brittany Mahomes, wife of Kansas City Chiefs star quarterback Patrick Mahomes, was eaten alive online after simply liking a post by Donald Trump. The so-called loving and tolerant left cannot stomach the fact that a football wife and gasp friend of Taylor Swift could possibly be a conservative or, gasp again, a Trump supporter. Luckily, Brittany Mahomes didn't back down or apologize. Instead, she posted a cryptic message on her own Instagram story basically telling the haters to pound sand. She didn't specifically mention the Trump post or Trump himself, but she got her point across, and good for her. Why does the left left think it has a monopoly on sports, celebrities, and pop culture. Where is the love and tolerance now that Brittany Mahomes could possibly be a Trump supporter? And it's funny, the same folks who are now condemning her actually celebrated her just a few months ago when she was buddied up to their messiah, Taylor Swift. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
And Avenue. Red Robin. Yum. Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. Since the pandemic, earned wage access apps are gaining in popularity. The apps like EarnIn extend small short-term loans to workers in between paychecks so they can pay bills and meet their everyday needs. On payday, the user pays back the money out of their wages. Proponents of the app say they help people living paycheck to paycheck manage their finances so they can avoid overdrawing funds from their bank account. But some analysts, along with consumer advocates and lawmakers, say the EW apps can trap users in an endless cycle of borrowing that depletes their earnings. Many charge monthly subscription fees along with mandatory fees for instant transfers of funds. However, there is typically a no-cost option to receive funds in 1 to 3 business days. Before you choose an earned wage access app, consider using an EWA provider that has the Ski Fox News.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spa Studio, the hot tub company your friends recommend.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
Well, I had a couple of messages that came in earlier. Joe Biden still on vacation, you know, Middle East on fire, all sorts of crazy things going on, but Joe Biden's just on vacation. And then again, Kamala's kind of out to lunch too. Right on John said this: Biden works for 3 days and then takes 4 days off. Congratulations on getting Tulsi. Yeah, we had Tulsi Gabbard in the 6 o'clock hour. You can get that on our Montana Talks app if you missed it later. Tim and Savage, as a small school superintendent, I could barely take a day off, even in the summer. And I certainly heard about it. If I ever left the building before 5 o'clock on a Friday, how does the president of the United States manage to be on vacation more than work? Thanks to Tim and Savage for that message. Judge Dan Wilson putting in the work, traveling all across Montana. Judge, I think you're off to Red Lodge later today and kind of all over the place, doing a little meet and greet in Red Lodge later this morning. What's something we didn't get to yet that you want to, you know, tell folks across Montana?
Well, people should not assume that I have any sort of political aspirations for my time on the court, or that I'm politically motivated. I'm getting support from across the political spectrum. I've gone to talk to groups who have invited me, both Republicans and Democratic groups. So I think the message of my campaign ought to resonate among Montanans who belong to every sort of political stripe and group and background. And it's just this: we want a Supreme Court that rules based on the law. We want, so far as possible, for the policy decisions in our state to be made by the branch of the government that our Constitution delegates those decisions to, which is the legislature. And we want our state government to function the way that it was originally intended and as adopted in the 72 Constitution. This is not a radical view. It's a traditional view. It's a judicially conservative view in that it just says we decide the cases based on law and precedent, not on the personal views and agendas of judges.
Well, Judge Dan Wilson, great to see you. Thanks for joining us in studio here. You know, even our trial lawyer friends out there, it's like, okay, we get it. You always want to protect your industry. You want to protect your massive payouts that you get in your cases. But seriously, you're tearing this country apart. You're destroying this country with these biased left-wing justices and judges, and by your nonstop support for the Democrat Party. Like your kids live here too. I don't know. I just wish they could. It's like, I get it. They want to protect their bottom line, but it's like, come on. This country is just being destroyed right now. Judge Wilson, great to see you. You got a website? Other way folks can contact you?
Well, wilsonforjustice.com. All one word.
All right. Remember, the Sons of Montana, Wilson and Corey Swanson. Great to see you. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you very much.
All right. Hey, I got something else I want to tell you before we run out of time this hour of the show. If you're a veteran out there, and you've got some problems with your teeth, well, stand by, because next month we're going to have a really exciting opportunity for you. So I can't wait to tell you about this, but I got to wait till the program's ready to roll out. But we're going to have some really cool news. Our friends at Yellowstone Family Dental are working on a project right now for you. But I tell you what, anybody out there, you know, I mentioned, God, I was at the Mint and Big Sandy on Saturday afternoon and early evening and got to enjoy a, you know, a nice prime rib dinner. And some of you are thinking, man, I got these dentures, and man, if I was going to try to bite into a steak, the dentures would fall right out of my mouth and right in front of everybody in the bar. And I just feel for you. God, I just couldn't imagine how obnoxious that would have to be. Or maybe you're somebody that doesn't have dentures, but you got just a whole bunch of teeth that are giving you problems. They hurt or they're failing, or maybe there's an infection in there and you're feeling it in your kneecap even. That'll happen. Well, check out Yellowstone Family Dental. Folks travel from all across the United States for this life-changing procedure and the dental implants that they produce with the latest technology, specialized training. Go to MontanaDentalImplants.com, MontanaDentalImplants.com. The Joker in the house next.